It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 23rd day of August, 2022. This is The Horn, headon.mibus, where you'll find us on the interweb tubes, of course. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and all time zones in between and the great globe round and whatever time it is when you listen to the podcast. Hi, I'm Robin. If you happen to pop by the chat room right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who is capably assisted by his trusty friend, pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. I don't know what you've gotten into, Steve, but I can't wait to hear. I had a note from Steve earlier today saying that he had a friendly, neighborly, hey, y'all don't do this story. So that should be coming up sometime later in the program. And, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so, consequently, we offer up our fond and deep and sincere thanks to our 23rd day of the month subscribers. That means that we say thank you in point of fact to Philip in Maryland. Thank you so much. And thanks so much to David, formerly of San Diego. I trust now of Oregon. Are you there yet, David? Let me know. Thanks to Mellow Moonlit Meadow. And thank you to our friend Max. Thank you, Max. By the way, Max got us down to, what would have been, let's see, where did we end? We are at 1710. 1710, I think, is the number. 1710 to catch up with fundraising and save this program. There's just a perfect storm of bills on the horizon, and the storm lands tomorrow, and we need to raise as much of that as we humanly possibly can so that this program will be here tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. I had a note from our dear friend Chris in Germany who said, you know, looking at the numbers, basically August is unfunded, and it largely is. So, you know, thank God for our subscribers. Without you, we would be lost. But we've got, you know, 1,700 some to go. And Chris in Germany is putting up a $300, come on, y'all, challenge. Simple, concise, to the point. Chris will double every dollar that comes in up to $300. And so that could get us down to $1,100. And that could pay that could go a long way toward saving the program tomorrow. And I hope it. I hope y'all will respond, because you know, Chris asked me, "What is the cabana? Is the cabana boy not part of the?" No. I explained to Chris. He ran off with the Maybach mechanic in the Maybach. It's been a rough one. I don't know why you're hearing a rerun of prayer meeting, Sparky, because this program is live as live can be. If there's a rerun running somewhere, I'm not running it, and neither is Brother Deacon Asa. He says that we are 999. Thank you for the memorial 999 there, Asa, remembering the late anything but great Herb Cain. So we've got $300 to go. Not to go, but we've got a $300 challenge on the table. Hopefully it gets met, and I'll be back here tomorrow evening instead of trying to figure out what to do next. And I wish I was kidding about all this, but I'm not. But nonetheless, it is Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And God knows we have a world of Titanic intellect to deal with this evening. Where to begin? Well, just because it's Titanic Tuesday, I can't resist this. You know, it's like yesterday. I couldn't not go for Moran Monday. I couldn't not go with Herschel Walker. Don't we have enough trees? You know. And so this Titanic Tuesday finds us headed over to the wacky world of Washington Journal. Oh dear God, Steve, did you and Todd catch this in real time today? If you did, I'm so sorry. We focus upon a dude named John, who rang the gang up at C-SPAN and Washington Journal today, because John had some stuff on his mind that he just wanted to. Well, he just wanted to unburden himself of, because I guess it was just gnawing at him or something. Ugh. Well, there's no way to do this but to do this. And apparently John on Washington Journal, being a Titanic right-wing intellect, or she blows, is a big fan of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head.
From Washington State Republican line, we'll hear from
Pedro.
John in Nine Mile Falls. Hello.
Hello, good morning. Yeah, I just have one thing to say about Fauci. He's a fake, he's a fraud. He's retiring, so he gets some other fake and fraud in there. That's why he's retiring, so to cover up all of his messy little details.
Because John in Nine Mile Falls, Washington, knows all of those messy little Fauci details out there. He's a fake. He's a fraud. Oh, God bless Donald Trump. Yeah. But see, we're not even to the hockey puck point. Let's just take this as read as a rule here. Anytime I say, and now we have a clip from Washington Journal, just assume that's another way of me saying, y'all get the hockey pucks out and get a good bite down on them, because you're gonna be barking at the moon here in a minute. And this is, of course, no different. No. He's a fake or a fraud. And John, are you a scientist or are you a medical? No, not much of anything. Ever since the told me that I couldn't be out in public among decent people anymore. It happens that way sometimes.
You get some other fake and fraud in there. That's why he's retiring, so to cover up all of the his messy little details.
I mean, is that how you cover up messy details, by retiring so that somebody can come in and just air out everything and you don't have any control over anything anymore? Or could it be that maybe he's retiring because he's north of 80 and has served his country all his life? I mean, maybe? I mean, is that even like a slight possibility? Kinda? Retiring to cover, and he's going to take 300 boxes of classified documents to his house with him, and that's what he said. That's probably what he probably hid the documents at Mar-a-Lardass.
And you say he's a fake and a fraud. What do you base that on?
Oh, why did you ask, Pedro? That's where you go. Thanks for your call. Next caller, Democrat line. Pedro, buddy, were you into the Rock Gut tequila early this morning? Were you trying to get the bottle back in the drawer when he pulled up short? Why would you ask an obvious maggot, COVIDiot, mask hole, science denying, mouth walking, knuckle breathing freak? Why would you use the word think, Pedro? Isn't it clear to you from the first 27 seconds that there was no actual thinking going on? Come on, man. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York says, Washington Journal, I'm thinking part of the hockey puck warning should be to have children leave the room. Because, right, there may be words. Okay, let's go back to this. We'll get through this, we, together.
He's a psychopath. He actually invented COVID. He invented COVID, you know.
So, what makes you believe that?
Well, you know, no, just all the stuff I hear.
Not just one question, why would you say that? But then he wants, really, Pedro, you want to drill down for details? What makes you believe that? Maybe I'm being too rough on Pedro this evening. Maybe there's a point to getting him, John from 9 Mile Balls, Washington, whatever. They must be so proud in 9 Mile Falls, Washington this evening. So proud. Hey, did you hear John on Washington Journal? Yeah, he's a real Lulu. He's nuttier than a Christmas fruitcake soaked in rot gut brandy. Great. Yeah, that's freaking awesome, John. I mean, so proud for you. Not really. He invented... No, did you get that? He invented... Fauci invented COVID. Invented. Not discovered. But invented, you know, there with his little dark lab in Wuhan with his little rubber mask on and pretending to be, he got the pangolin and the bat and the, quick to the pangolin cave. Oh, please. It hurts us. Steve in New York pointed out, my alma mater, the university of all the stuff I hear. Doesn't it make you wonder kind of where John from 9 Mile Falls hangs out, that you got that kind of conversation going on? Is that the Mississippi part of Washington State, 9 Mile Falls? I don't know.
So what makes you believe that?
Well, you know, No, just all the stuff I hear. Ask Rand Paul. You know, you don't want to listen to Rand Paul, but you want to listen to this clown. You know, he's killed more people than Hitler. You know.
There we go. Yeah, you don't want to listen to Rand Paul, and you want to listen to this.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, I don't want to listen to Rand Paul. And you know, all this stuff. Where do you, John from Nine Mile Falls, where do you hear all these things? Are they messages that arrive through the fillings in your teeth, buddy? I'm just wondering. A curious nation waits to hear. I ain't listening to Rand Paul. You know, this would be a good time to point out that Rand Paul has a viable challenger in the form of Charles Booker of Louisville, Kentucky. And that if Kentuckians of goodwill and good mind actually decided so to do, they could retire Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, from the actual Senate of the United States of America, and replace him with someone who's intelligent and, you know, gives up about people who aren't Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. I was thinking about that earlier today because, you know, okay, we go, oh, well, you know, in Pennsylvania, the Republicans are running Dr. Oz from New Jersey, and clearly he's not a serious candidate, and they're running a guy who made a hustle out of being a hillbilly when he isn't one in Ohio, and they got a guy who thinks there's too many trees, and China ships this, their dirty air running in Georgia. But because he's an incumbent, nobody ever seems to point out that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, is an absolute bag of cats. And then, of course, you know, we got there. Fauci's killed more people than Hitler. And John of Nine Mile Falls is utterly oblivious to the fact that there is a burgeoning actual Nazi movement in the United States of America, and it is centered and housed in the political party that he supports. My oh my, isn't that just special? Did Pedro say anything after that? Was that enough? I mean, he gave a full minute Pedro did almost a full minute to John from Nine Mile Falls, Washington.
Listen to this clown, you know, he's killed more people than Hitler, you know.
So, yeah, you know.
What can I say?
And, you know, sometimes legal weed is not always the best idea. It sounds like John from Nine Mile Falls has maybe not had his morning meds, and the birds are still tweeting a little bit between his ears.
Okay, so that's John there in Washington State, and another related.
Yeah, that was Pedro. Hey Pedro, I know you're not supposed to editorialize or anything, but you think you could say maybe that. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, has not killed more people than Hitler? Or are you just going to leave it to the shut-ins there watching Washington Journal to figure that out on their own? You know, just asking questions. Just like, you know, just like Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, just asking questions. Jacking off. J-A-Q, just asking questions. I'm right there with you. Steve says, all the stuff I hear, I'm thinking those are just voices in his head. Yes, but they can get so noisy sometimes. So very, very noisy. Thank you. Thank you so kindly, Charlene. Thank you, Charlene, in Rogues Island, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and a charter member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Thank you, Charlene, and thank you to George we have now $225 to go on Chris's Come On Y'all challenge. And that would be, it is an existential imperative as far as the continuation of this show is concerned. That and more, but, you know, we'd get the hole down to $1,100 and maybe get close, because, you know, we're more than 3 weeks into August and really haven't funded much more than a week of it. So, yeah, I hope you'll forgive me for starting off with John from Nine Mile Falls. No, it's not momentous news, earth-shattering, earth-shaking, no. But, you know, the things that wind up being huge on the world stage are seldom great big events or appear to be them at first blush. You know, a member of the Austro-Hungarian royalty gets popped by a malcontent in Sarajevo, and everybody goes, huh, well, how about that? You know, some of Queen Victoria's kinfolks. And the next thing you know, people are being slaughtered across vast fields in France, and the flower of European youth goes up in flames. And, you know, the same thing with COVID. You know, there we were just toddling along. I remember it seems like somehow a sweeter, more innocent time there, late 2019, when those little stories began trickling out that a lot of people in China were getting sick with a disease that nobody really knew what it was. And prior to that, you know, some wealthy member of the nouveau riche in China decides he wants a big old pot of skillet fried pangolin with bat glaze or something, and, you know, just like Mama used to make. And the next thing you know, it's the stories about people getting sick in China. And after that, you know, when it might have been a good idea to take more proactive measures, you know, Nitwit Nero was sitting there in the White House. Yeah, but what about the Muslims? And here we are. Over a million dead. Over a million dead. Because, well, I didn't want to panic. I didn't want to panic people. You'd rather kill them instead there, Nitwit Nero? Is that the point? Yeah? Is it? Aaliyah in New York. Retire a Kentucky senator? I doubt Rand Paul will be forced out. They decided to keep the turtle last election. Or did they? You know, in all the Sturm und Drang about the election machines elsewhere, if you go and look at the results for Kentucky, and, this is not part of the big lie, because nobody's talking about voting machines in Kentucky. No, no, those worked great. Except for the fact that counties that had never, ever, ever, ever before gone for Mitch McTurtle suddenly decided that they wanted to give him a landslide. What? Yeah. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Fauci. Oh, for Christ's sake! The man's been a public servant since the 80s. He was the one person in government who invited AIDS activists into meetings in order to address the people most affected by government decisions. He tried to guide the country through another pandemic. Unfortunately for him, the president at the time of COVID had the IQ of a nasal swab. Wait a minute. That's a good one. Had the IQ of a nasal swab, and then the QAnon and Republican Party folks got started on making him into a mad scientist mixing COVID in a beaker in his kitchen. Quite frankly, Matt says, I'm surprised he didn't walk off the job 2 years ago. Let the doctor retire with some dignity. He's 80. He deserves a thanks, the gold watch, and a nice, quiet life of leisure and travel. That's from Matt. P.S., Matt says, the family is vacationing in Maryland. You know what? There's some lovely places to vacation in Maryland. And I contacted my representative, and we're getting a tour of the Capitol on Thursday. We won't be shitting on the rug. And nor did I expect that you would. I mean, that's a uniquely Republican thing to do. Smearing it on the walls and the like. And, you know, I hope, that just warms my heart, Matt. I hope y'all have a wonderful, wonderful time there. The Capitol tour is fascinating. It's really, and when you go through the museum, if it's still on display, take a moment. They had, the last time I took that tour, they had the actual desk from the House of Representatives where John Quincy Adams, the only president ever to return to the Congress after being president, by the way, where John Quincy Adams would draft abolition bills, and the leadership of the House would then punish him for doing it because it was illegal within the rules of the House of Representatives to bring up anything even remotely discussing the American horror of chattel slavery. I spent a little bit of time standing there looking at that desk and thinking about the courage that John Quincy Adams had to do that sort of thing in the face of such relentless and vituperative opposition. Oh, there's... if you've never been there, may I humbly suggest the Smithsonian's National Museum of Art. Go and see the only Leonardo da Vinci painting in the entire Western Hemisphere. With any luck, they might have Raphael's portrait of Bindo Altoviti, which remains one of my favorite pieces. Just beautiful. A young man with golden hair who had been posted to Rome from his banking, his family's banking empire in Florence. He was working at the church. He's wearing a green cloak. He's got a wedding ring on, and he's got it placed upon his shoulder as he looks over his shoulder at the painter, and it's just beautiful. There's a longing and a wistfulness in his eyes, and there are a couple of Giorgiones. The Byzantine stuff is fantastic. The Dutch master's room, and that's not a smoking area. The Dutch master's room is beautiful. Every time I look at the Rembrandts and stuff, I'm just like, this is so oppressive. I mean, it's beautiful work, but I guess it reflects the lighting of the day in interior spaces because everything just looks, well, smoky. There we are back to the Dutch masters again, and the White Owls, and the Garcia Vegas, and the Antonio y Cleopatras. Enjoy your time there. There's a great German restaurant up on Capitol Hill on Massachusetts called Café Berlin. There's a French restaurant next to that. Can you tell I kind of miss getting back to D.C.? I do. Get to the National Portrait Gallery, y'all, before they hang Nitwit Nero's painting portrait and that of melanoma. We had that story yesterday, and I still don't know if she's going to be. I don't know if her portrait's going to be like, you know, wearing clothes. Never had to worry about that with any other first ladies. Different story with melanoma.
Of course I'll be wearing clothes. I'll be wearing my ancient Transylvania ceremonial costume while lying in a box.
Shame on me. Fauci and AIDS. Steve in New York says, let's be honest, at first he was rather bad on the HIV-AIDS crisis. However, he came around, as Matt said. He developed a friendship with Larry Kramer. Yeah, he got it very badly wrong at first, and I think maybe he was influenced by how very, very badly wrong, say, you know, old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, was getting it. But he did. He came around. He listened to the people who were most impacted and affected. As far as him quitting in protest, Steve adds, which I have heard a number of people say they would have supported, that would have been a stupid idea because that would have left us with Dr. Scarf. Wait a minute. Is that where we are now with Deborah? Deborah? Is she just going to go down in history as Dr. Scarf now? Who sat there while Nitwit Nero blathered about gargling with bleach and sticking a rave glow stick up our fundaments, and that nutball doctor who was so pro-herd immunity? I'm glad he stuck around. It could not have been... Do you have any... You know, the swear words that Anthony Fauci uttered during the pandemic under Nitwit Nero are, as the line goes from A Christmas Story, probably still orbiting the Earth. Or maybe being received on distant stars. Or distant star systems and planets and things like that. You can't live on a star. John from Washington Journal, check this, Stephen, Georgia Stan says, Todd and I corresponded about this nutbag before. Wait a minute, this was a return engagement? What? One mid-Saturday in July, the moderator's name was Mimi, and I would not want to play poker with her. John called and actually said that someone high up on the left wing had a patent on the coronavirus. She looked at him, deadpan center camera with all seriousness, and said, John, how do you put a patent on a virus? He didn't have an answer and hung up. Ms. Karen nor myself haven't laughed that hard in a long time. Maybe, is Mimi still there, Steve? Could we get maybe her to have a little sit down with Pedro and explain to him how maybe he shouldn't be asking questions he doesn't want the answer to, and because he doesn't want to spread toxic disinformation through the country? Oh, and I did mention toward the end of the program, it bears mentioning during the body of the program this evening, Pfizer has submitted its BA5 specific vaccine to the Food and Drug Administration for approval. I'm guessing from the timeline of how that works, and it will, of course, trigger an entirely new round of primate chattering and screeching from MAGAville. But I'm guessing, you know, maybe mid-September we'll be able to line up and get that if we're within our timeline for doing that. And I should be pretty close to being, and that would be most helpful, considering. And well, I'm still trying to get insurance get some things taken care of, but it'd be great if we had the BA, because, well, dear friends got it, and their significant other have it, right? And I just hope y'all get to feeling better really, really, really soon. Be careful out there. Yeah, wasn't that the line in, Hill Street Blues? Y'all be careful out there.
He killed more people than Hitler. So what can I say? He's an asshole.
I mean, what time did this happen? This morning? What time did John have to get up in Nine Mile Falls, Washington? Yeah, it was, in fact, it says so on the screen. When John was calling, it was 4:36 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And the question then becomes, had John just gotten up, or had he just stayed up? It's another tequila song. No singing. So that just seemed like an obvious place to start with Titanic Tuesday. Oh, and speaking of Hitler... let's talk for a minute about Carl P. Paladino. And by the way, today is primary day in both New York and Florida, and that could wind up being a bit of a mess. Either Carolyn Maloney or Jerry Nadler will be out of a job today. I know if I was a New Yorker, I'd be voting for Jerry Nadler. Just because of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago with Carolyn Maloney out there running around saying, you know, I just don't think Joe Biden's going to run. And, you know, that's just one of the little voices I do. That's no reflection on her. But it was a stupid thing to do. And I think we still need Jerry Nadler at the head of House Judiciary for as long as we can hang on to the House. But obviously, that'll cut the five person Republican or Democratic majority to four, based on the outcome of that. And then there's a couple of races in Florida that they've gerrymandered to try to make sure that there's one less or lots less Democrats there. Interesting, it hasn't gotten, I haven't seen a lot of press about it, but the Democratic primary to challenge Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis features a pair of Democrats who, either one of whom, would be orders of magnitude better than Monkey Up. One is, I think her name is Freed, and she's the Secretary of Agriculture in Florida, a Democrat. She's the only statewide office holder in Florida who is a Democrat. And Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist, of course, having been formerly governor of Florida. Of course, back then he was a Republican. You know, he's one of those, I didn't leave my party, the party left me types. I think I'm inclined to like Secretary Freed a little bit better, although Charlie Crist does have, he's got history in the office. You might recall the Secretary of Agriculture did an interesting thing by suing the Biden administration, which will probably go a long way with some for, yeah, I sued the Biden administration, over rules regarding handgun ownership. Again, this will play well with Floridans. Because there's an inherent conflict. When you fill out the paperwork to own a Freedom Protector, you have to say that you are not a user of drugs, illegal drugs. Well, federally, even though states' rights, many states have legalized cannabis, federally it remains illegal. And so people seeking to purchase firearms in Florida, other states as well, can either commit perjury on the form, which is punishable as a felony, or not purchase a firearm. Now, we're not particularly firearms friendly in this community. I'm certainly not. But I also understand that there are people who feel like maybe they might need one for personal protection. Maybe, you know, a liberal progressive type who lives in a blood red state who recognizes that everybody around them has guns, and maybe she needs a gun too. And so I don't know what the outcome of that lawsuit was, but whoever challenges Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, well, I hope he spends more time trying to position himself as the heir apparent to Nitwit Nero to run for president than he does running for governor. God, Florida deserves so much better than him. And, of course, I don't know, we've got friends in Florida. I think of folks like Mark and Scary Jerry and a handful of others. Could, you know, there's every reason for the entirety of the LGBTQ community and allies to absolutely bust ass to get out the vote against Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. And the question is, you know, will they? Oh, thank you, Rod. Thank you, Rod, so very much. Rod in Canada, thank you. We are now down to 175 to go in Chris's Come On Y'all challenge. Thank you, Rod. That means the world. We're trying to save a little program that's been on the air for almost 20 years, and we got a day to do it. So thank you, Rod, for jumping in alongside alongside Charlene and alongside George. Thank you so much. $175 doesn't seem like that much. $1,750 times 10 people, that kind of thing. 17 and a half people times 10 bucks. I hope we do. I hope we can go beyond that. We need to get this stuff out of the way so the program continues. Primary, Lee in New York, and by the way, the PayPal button's at headon.live. Primary, Lee in New York says, I had no one to vote for. No contested races for my address. That, I think, speaks well of your particular congressional district. Or your, I hope it does. Steve in New York says, Jerry Nadler, here's why I'd vote for Nadler. Before marriage equality, he continuously introduced a law called the Permanent Partners Immigration Act, giving same-sex couples a path to sponsor their partners. It never passed, but it showed where his heart lay. Yes, with compassion and decency. Anyway, back to New York. How did that digression happen? Well, this is a story kind of about Elise Stupidnik. And then there's Carl Paladino. Carl P. Paladino. And he's running for a House seat in the western end of New York State. Carl P. Paladino, among other things, while on the hustings and trying to gin up the vote among the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking people who would vote for someone like Carl P. Paladino, told them that, you know, Adolf Hitler is the kind of leader we need to do, we need today. No, he's the kind of leader we need today. That's a direct quote of Mr. Carl P. Paladino. He made that in a radio interview back in 2021. He said, yeah, those Nazis sure knew how to arouse the crowd. And went on to say that Republicans should emulate that. You know, they tell us a little more every day exactly who the hell they are. And yet, somehow, there are those among us who yet say, not really, they're not. I mean, when they get to the point where they've got the down-at-heels jack boots and the Hugo Boss uniforms on and the red armbands and they're marching and showing the stiff arm... Oh, wait, they've already done the stiff arm salute part. Do you suppose our beloved centrist brothers and sisters will finally catch on then? Lee in New York says, Carl Paladino, his name is a hockey puck warning. True. Oh, but just to make sure we all know exactly who these Republicans are, via NBC News, quote, Elise Stefanik endorsed Carl Paladino, a buffalo developer. I didn't know it was possible to develop buffaloes, but, well, you know, you learn a little something new every day. Stefanik, I'm sorry. St- Stefanik endorsed Carl Paladino, a Buffalo developer, this month without consulting other members of a leadership team that includes Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy of California and Minority Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana, said a House GOP leadership aide who spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to comment publicly about the matter. A House Republican familiar with GOP leadership's frustration with Stefanik, who also spoke on condition of anonymity, called her endorsement of Paladino baffling and off-putting. Now, for my part, I would also add entirely expectable, predictable, and kind of mainstream Republican now. Because I got, you'll note that in all of that, there's nothing in there about how Minority Leader Kevers McCarthy of California and Minority Whip Steve Scalise, who got blown away and still didn't figure out that this country needs better gun laws and less NRA. There's nothing in there about how they, either one of those said, well, Carl Paladino would not be welcome in our caucus should he be elected in Western New York. No, that's not there. Because the bottom line is, if Carl Paladino is elected, if Carl Paladino wins his primary, and if Carl Paladino is elected in November, Minority Whip Steve Scalise and Minority Leader Kevers McCarthy of California will welcome that Nazi-loving head with open arms, and you know it, and I know it.
Well, you know, he said some things in the past and everything, but for you know, he was probably taken out of context, and that's what the liberal media does. A guy says something like Hitler was a good leader, and the Nazis roused up the crowd, and the next thing you know, they're saying he's a Nazi too, because he is. And
we hate it when they just stop saying that. Jesus. But that's not where the story ends. No. Because via CNN and Melanie Zanona, Ms. Zanona said, on the eve of the New York primary, Elise Stefanik held a telephone rally for controversial, maybe we could use the word Nazi, GOP candidate Carl Paladino, per source. In another sign of Stefanik's investment in the race, two aides from her political operation are on the ground advising Paladino on comms and strategy. I don't know. Remember, Elise Stupidnik, doesn't even live in her district. You'd think that that would be something that, well, mattered. But never mind. Elise Stupidnik is who the GOP caucus in the House chose when they booted Liz Cheney from House leadership for simply doing the least amount humanly possible to uphold the oath that she swore to the Constitution. Take a moment and ponder that. There is not a single Republican in the House of Representatives who pays any allegiance to the constitutional oath they swore. Our country is infested with a nest of vipers who, among other things, think that Adolf Hitler was a pretty good leader. And the number three ranking Republican in the House has loaned the Nazi candidate two aides from her comms and strategy operation. Which in itself is an entire conundrum of its own. So you are paid political operatives for the Elise Stupidnik for Congress campaign, and she looks at you and says, hey, I want you to go over and advise the Carl Paladino campaign. You know, he needs a little help. We're trying to get him elected. And you, as one of these two operatives, don't have enough moral gumption to say, wait a minute, he's a Nazi. Elise, honey, I don't think I can do that. I don't work for Nazis. There were two of them. Neither of them have been reported as having resigned for working for a Nazi. Or to put it another way, working for a Nazi in the Republican Party is no longer a bar to further employment. It'll be right there on their little Republican resume in years to come. Worked for Nazi Carl Paladino. Oh, well, how was that? Oh, it was great. You reckon maybe Elise Stupidnik wants Carl Paladino in the House as part of maybe an effort to, I don't know, have a little palace coup and maybe become Speaker Stupidnik? Would someone as clearly ambitious and as obviously ruthless as Elise Stupidnik hatch a plan like that? Maybe with the support of the Feedum carcass? Yeah? Someone that Machiavellian? I don't think she could spell Machiavelli, but, you know, just the same. Could that be possible? Remember, Matt Gaetz said that when they take control of the House in November, that he's going to offer up Nitwit Nero as Speaker of the House. There went dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Yeah. Going back to Florida, Irish Dave says, Florida deserves better. Based on what?
Deservance got nothing to do with it.
That's the quote from Bill Money in Unforgiven. And I get it, but there are people who deserve better in Florida. I think we both know that. South Florida is very much a different place from, say, lower Alabama, North Florida. And the folks in South Florida do, in fact, deserve better. God knows the LGBTQ community deserves better in Florida than to have a governor who simply tries to utterly erase them from existence. Thank you so much, Nina. Thank you, Nina. Nina said, great show, as always. I only wish I could afford to give more. That's plenty. Thank you so much. Thank you, Nina. And also, thank you to Theodore in Oregon. Thank you. That means that we are now down to 150 bucks to go on Chris's Come On Y'all challenge. Thank you, everybody, for jumping in. We are trying to save this little effort. And, like, well, Chris said, I can hear it in your voice how worried you are. And I am. It's awful. But we've got $150 more dollars, and all of that $300 turns into $600 magically, thanks to Chris in Germany. Thank you, Theodore. Thank you, Nina. Matt, not in San Francisco, says, Elise Marie Stefanik. She was born in 1984. Coincidence? George Orwell says, no coincidences. Somehow, I think you're right. Steve in New York adds, dilemma, should we call old Carl pro-Nazi or pro-Hitler? I'm thinking the latter. Both are true, but the latter has more oomph.
Would that be an oompa oomph? Sorry, that is just a bad... Never mind. Ignore me. I don't see why there has to be a pro-Nazi, pro-Hitler... Carl, pro-Nazi, pro-Hitler Paladino. That doesn't take too long. That's not too much of a mouthful. So, you've got an actual... Well, the number three ranking Republican in the Congress of the United States... lending her support and her endorsement and her voice and the power of her reputation, whatever that is, to a Nazi simp. Simping for the Nazis. Simping for Hitler. And that's okay in Republican world. And she'll go on being the third ranking member of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, and whatever blather there is from Steve Scalise and Kevers McCarthy, well, let's just say it won't come to nothing, Mr. Finch. All your mammon and Miss Ayala, and it don't come to nothing. And as for her not living in the district, Lisa's Republican reaction, BFD, Dr. Oz lives in New Jersey. True, 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 absolutely true enough. And, oh my heavens, this is a monumental cowbell. Cat in Ohio, who made it possible for me to be in Pittsburgh and get a much better idea of where we stand as progressives and liberals in the here and now, facing the 2022 elections. Cat just finished off Chris in Germany's challenge, and... That gets us down to 1,100, and then Kat took us down to 1,050. This is beginning to feel a little bit like a miracle. Thank you, Kat. Thank you so much. And so if we could, whatever we can keep doing, please let's keep doing it. Because if we could actually get down to zero, that would mean... That would mean there will be programs tomorrow and Thursday and Friday, and we'll keep going. I mean, I know people like our friend John Bridevo know exactly how this feels. And it's nerve-wracking. Thank you, Kat. Oh, my God, thank you so much. And so, as we reach the end of the first hour of the program, why don't we just stay with a theme, as it were? Seems like we've been up to our eyeballs in Nazis and various kinds of Republican evildoers. Well, let's go out Arizona Stanway, where Carrie Lake is the nominee for the governor of Arizona Stan. She has absolutely no experience whatsoever in government of any form, and is, in fact, by reference to, the Lincoln Project recently put out an ad about Carrie Lake, and it's on point.
We need to send a very big message to the federal government that we're not going to take this anymore. We need to fire the federal government.
Interesting idea. Maybe it's a good idea. Of course, 42% of Arizona's budget comes from the federal government, so that would require a 72% increase in state taxes to fill the gap. You got that kind of money? No more Social Security checks. No more Medicare. Luke Air Force Base? Gone. In fact, say goodbye to most of the Air Force, Army, Marine bases all over the state. Arizona students would need to figure something else out because federal student aid would have to go. And sadly, all the national parks, including the Grand Canyon, well, they'd have to close. And we'd also lose all of our air traffic controllers, which sounds fun. But hey, drug traffickers would be happy. There wouldn't be a DEA in the state anymore.
We need to fire the federal government.
Right now, Carrie Lake is just a kook with crazy ideas. But if Arizona elects her for governor, her crazy ideas could crush Arizona's economy, raise our taxes, make our communities less safe, and turn Arizona into a national joke. Does this still sound like a good idea?
They're good. You got to give credit where credit's due. They are good. And in the case of Carrie Lake, they're also right. I thought that was a most succinct way of deconstructing this rampant anti-American rhetoric that seems to have run system-wide. I mean, it's a full body inflammation, a full body infection of the Republican Party now. Not that it's anything new. They've been kind of that way for a while, but Carrie Lake is a kook. And what she was before was just a talking head on a local TV station. But because she got out there and claimed that she was fired for being too much of a truth teller about how awesome Trump is, suddenly she's gubernatorial timber. So anyway, here's Carrie Lake out in Arizona, Stan. And she's offered up an endorsement to a guy that I talked about last night in my conversation with Todd. The guy from Oklahoma, Stan, Jaron Jackson.
Jaron Jackson.
You know, he's the nutbag who has a fighting chance. He is the GOP nominee for his state Senate district in Oklahoma, Stan, north of Tulsa. And he's become semi-famous for streaming his lunacy out there to people who hunger and crave for that kind of shit. Among other things, he said, the Jews are proof that evil exists. I'm a fighter. I'm a patriot. And I've been attacked by the Soros media. Because I'm over the target.
Target?
He went on, as I noted last night, to say that we need to outline and detail the evil, the Jews. The Jews! Illuminati, COVID shots kill, Rothschilds, communist woke pastors, social gospel. Christ will chuck a bunch of stuff in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, apparently Jaron Jackson has a case of Rothschild's Tourette's. And like mentioning George Soros, it's a kind of shorthand, a kind of anti-Semitic code, saying Rothschilds, George Soros. That's, you know, because you can't just all the time, although Jaron Jackson does, be saying the Jews. And here's another, hearkening back to what Steve from Georgistan said earlier about when Mimi asked John from Nine Mile Falls, Washington, how do you get a patent on a virus? Well, Jaron Jackson knows, because among other things, he claimed that a member of the Rothschild family applied for and was granted the patent for COVID-19 testing. In 2015. Mm-hmm. He blathers on about MK Ultra and the like. But the Lincoln Project ad, Carrie Lake is a kook. Well, Carrie Lake just endorsed Jaron Jackson. And it was she who said he's a fighter, he's a patriot, who is attacked by the Soros media. She even put up a picture, a photoshopped picture, of her and Jaron. And Jaron then posted it to Twitter.
I'm honored to be endorsed by the hashtag America First and Trump endorsed warrior who drained the McCain swamp in Arizona and is now the GOP nominee for governor in Arizona, Carrie Lake. She is a rising star and her endorsement is a big deal. Thank you, Carrie. We need fighters in every state. That's why I'm proud to endorse Jaron Jackson for Oklahoma in state senate. Jaron is an America First patriot and does so much to advance our America First movement. Rhinos and the Soros media attack him relentlessly because he's over the target. Jaron is a winner and a fighter we need in the state senate of Oklahoma.
No, that's actually a quote from the Republican nominee for governor endorsing a full-on, no kidding, anti-Semitic Republican. And she speaks the language. That's what that Soros media remark was all about. Good Lord in heaven. Now, I mean, we get it here, right? We get it here. We know that there is a Nazi problem in the United States of America. And we probably have a better handle on how broad and how deep that Nazi problem is . But I don't think, I wonder if most of America does. Do you? Should we maybe talk about this a little bit? And how do we get... how do we get America to wake up, to realize it? Hey, Tamara. Cowbell's right here with me. And then there's the question of how many people will run out and vote for Jaron Jackson for state senate. How many people in Arizona will run out and vote for Carrie Lake for governor of Arizona, who appears to be a secessionist? I honestly don't know. I don't. There's apparently no penalty for being a Nazi in the United States of America in the third decade of the 21st century. Beats me. So from 1050, we are now down to 1010. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you to John in Central PA. Thank you so much. Maybe we can get the wow. Could we get this down to where the fundraising goal tomorrow, if there's a tomorrow, isn't even four digits? Is that possible? Thank you both so much. Let's see here. And Jeremy in Vermont took us down to 10:05. You know, when I was a little kid and dealing with There was a face cleansing lotion called 1006. We're down to 1005. Thank you, Jeremy. Not much, but it's not zero. Oh, it's much. Jeremy, it's much. It's all much. Thank you. Let's see here. Figure out where the second hour is going to go because we've had so many Titanic Nazis. That's how Churchill used to say it. Nazis, the Nazis. I don't want to just absolutely swamp the show with them, but damn, you know, when you do a current events program, you kind of have to deal with what the current events are. And we got, like I said, we've got a Nazi problem. Let's run over to the Skype line where Steve from Georgistan is waiting. Hey, Steve. Steve!
Robin!
Oh, wait a minute.
Hold on. Interrupt this program for a temporary public service announcement.
Well, hold on. Don't do it yet. Stand by. I had the wrong cable plugged up. Are you there, Steve? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yay. I didn't have it run into the board yet.
Oh, that's okay. My bad. I called it the wrong
time. No. You called fine. I just had the charger on it trying to put some juice into it so that it, cuz a couple of Fridays ago, I actually got, well, I had
I remember
to
remember that. It started yeah. honking at you.
This iPad has gotten a lot of use, and it will be 3 years old in November, and, well, batteries get old.
But, I repeat myself when I'm distressed. May I interrupt this program for a temporary public service announcement?
Do please.
This falls under the category of don't do this. This isn't a call the guy call, okay? This is a don't do this.
Okay.
Call. Last couple of weeks, I've been smelling fish. Really bad, really strong, and every night, you know, it seemed like it got worse. And one afternoon, I went out in the kitchen. It was a Saturday. I said, Karen, are you making tuna or salad, or what the hell's going on? No, Steve, I'm not making any of that. And for anybody with a, you know, salacious mind out there, I'm not going anywhere on tawdry with this, so just stay with me.
You're fine.
So... oh, geez. We have one of those air purifyings. You know, you've seen them, the ones that come in a canister.
Yeah.
It's got a humidistat on it and everything. But we have been using a product. You've seen the water purification systems that come in a pitcher. And I don't want us to get sued, so we'll say it rhymes with Nero water. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the fish smell kept getting worse, and I couldn't understand it. The way it's hooked up, the way our house is rigged up is around, I keep it around 75 during the day, and at nighttime I cut it down to a 70 because I like it cool when I sleep.
Same.
So this humidistat was coming on during the night and we didn't know. And it was blowing out this foul fish humid water smell, and that's what it was, and this is what caused all that. And this is where the PSA comes in. The Nero water, it comes with its own like TDS detector. You know what that is, don't you?
Better help me.
It's total dissolved solids, and anything less than 500 is good. Well, my tap water is at 100, so you know that even though they say you're supposed to keep it less than 3 with the zero water filtration system, I thought, well, hell, I'm at 70. Why should I buy one of these expensive filters? You know, why waste money? But come to find out, and Paul from Parts Unknown could probably, you know, articulate this better than I could reiterate, so I'm not even going to try. But when you take your water down too low or you overuse this filter, what happens is you start producing algae in your water filtration system.
Ew.
Yeah, yeah, Double, tell me about it. Ooh. Yeah, and I didn't realize it. I was up last night, Ace and I were talking, and we both had a hard day. I said, I want to do a couple shots of, you know, Brown Royal, maybe help me take the edge off today. You know how when
Brown Royal, is that the off-brand, Steve?
Yeah, yeah. You know, after you've had a couple, you knock back a couple, it kind of gives you the cotton mouth the next morning. Well, I was out of bottled water, so I went and I seen that Nero water filtration pitcher sitting there, and I filled me up a big old glass, took two guzzles down, and just spewed it out all over the place. Like, oh my God!
Oh my! Oh God! This is getting grosser by the minute.
Yeah, I have never drank out of an aquarium before. But if I ever did, I would imagine that's exactly.
I'm just proud of you for saying that. I've never drank out of an aquarium before.
But if I did, that's exactly what it would taste like. So my advice to all of the Horn family, if you're using the Nero filtration system, the ones that rhymes with Nero, change your filter, regardless of what your TDS indicator says. You know, after 3 weeks, you got to change that filter. Otherwise, you're going to end up, if you're using it in humidistat like I was, breathing in fish air. Fortunately, I have that chemical additive that's supposed to kill all that, but it still stank. And we couldn't figure out what the hell was, you know, was causing all that. So that's my
God, guess. That's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought, well, this I can't be the only knucklehead on the planet that has done this. So I looked it up, and of course, it's all over Rip-Off Report and everything. You know, Nero water turns your fish into aquarium water. Don't do it. You know, don't buy it. Stay away from it. So I ordered a Brita system, and when it gets here Thursday, the Nero water system's going in the garbage can. Even though I just put a new filter in it. And of course, with Steve Shenanigans, there's always a stage two. You know,
wait, it's a whole program segment now. Steve Shenanigans.
There's always a stage two. You know that, Robin. You and I have been friends for, what, 10 years?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing can just ever end real short and sweet. You know, you would think by washing out the container with the pitcher.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, and replacing the filter, which it did, and it brought the water down to zero. Everything was fine. Well, the humidistat's on our dresser. Like I said, it was cutting on in the night. We didn't see it, so I thought, well, I don't want to dump all this on Karen. Karen and I have a relationship. I'm the pencil pusher, okay? She does, like, if we get a grill, she'll put it together. She does just about everything mechanical around the house. So I said, well, I don't want to dump this on her. So I went to get this humidistat out, and I was going to clean it out for her so she wouldn't have to peter around with it after running her mail route. Come to find out there's a release button on the bottom. My dumbass must have accidentally hit it because fish water all over our nightstand. All
down oh, Jesus, boat. No.
it just gets worse and worse and worse. Yeah, so I had to put out that fire today. I've been up since 5 this morning, and I hope I didn't muff that telling it too bad. But the bottom line is, if you're running a Nero water filtration system and you're lazy or you're too cheap to change the filters, don't do that. That's what it is. It's not a call the guy. It's a don't do that.
Yeah, doctor, it hurts when I do this. Yeah, well, don't do that.
Don't do that. Right, or get a Brita where it doesn't matter. You know, you can let it, as long as it's less than 500, it's safe to drink. You know, and I, like I said, it would not be repetitive, but I would, you know, I would test it, and you couldn't even smell it. But however, when it vaporized.
Well, you know, for the longest time, as far as I can remember, the standard, the awful water standard has been,
man, that was awful. That tasted like bong water.
Yeah, but this is.
You have found water. A new low.
Yeah. Aquarium water, bro, sister. Aquarium water. I've never tasted it, but this morning with cottonmouth, I figured it out. I was like, Karen,
with cottonmouth, with cottonmouth.
I was out of bottled water, you know. So it was kind of fortunate that it happened, or God knows how long this would have went on.
Yeah, you know, your brother in the fraternity of Steve in New York, said, cue the Benny Hill music.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my PSA for the evening, and you can now resume your normally scheduled program.
I don't know if I can. Not after that. Lee in New York, Steve's fire. Steve put out the fire with aquarium water. Oh, that's
yeah. Mm. And you know, if you're going to be lazy, it's not that I'm lazy. It's just Karen and I both work.
Look,
all the time.
No. Back in 1803, the poet William Wordsworth wrote a phrase that has stuck with me since the first time that I read it. The world is too much with us. We lay waste our days, coming and going, getting and spending. And the minutiae of daily life will eat you alive.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
you can swallow it up. 3 weeks can come and go. Unless you're disciplined enough to, you're supposed to change it every 20 gallons. To get like a pencil and paper and mark down a scratch line and change that damn thing every 20 hours. Otherwise, you're going to end up drinking fish water.
But like, so I've got a discount card for ExxonMobil, and that's who the gasoline is at the local Rippy Mart. And I've had it for like 3 years, and the guy at the counter yesterday said,
"Oh, you need to register your discount card."
I was like, "You know, I do, and I have for 3 years, and every time I use this, I need to go home and sit down at the computer and just register this stupid card." And then you know what I don't do, Steve? You know what I don't do? I don't go home and register the stupid card.
No, the next time he's probably grinching at you again. You need to register this.
But the thing is, there's probably enough discount points on there to, I don't know, buy coffee and donuts next door at Dunkin' or something. It's.
But the fish water, we were making tea out of it, so peppermint tea. I was boiling it, so I couldn't taste it. But my God, could you smell it when you turn it into humidity water? But we it took.
Oh, I remember when we lived way out in the country, and we had a well, and it was out in the gas wells, gas fields of West Virginia, and that water stank of rotten eggs.
Yeah, sulfur.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that.
And it was unbearable, and I think I spent $13,000 on an in-place water filtration system that you had to dump like four. There was a bin that would hold four of those huge bags of rock salt.
Oh, God.
And during the time that we continued living there, my life became just a series of purchasing and hauling bags of salt. Because, you know, you get to the point where, I mean, it's the same thing with your system there. You don't own that system. That system owns you.
Right. So it's a community well. You know, I was counting on this narrow water to, and it did. It improved things on paper. But something goes on within the filtration process, and you can read it and understand it. And Paul, for parts unknown, could probably describe it where everybody can understand it. But, you know, it escapes me as far as trying to articulate it back to you.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
That makes total sense. It makes total sense.
But also, what will cause that sulfur smell, there's a rod that goes down in your hot water heater. It's some kind of an ionization rod.
Yeah.
That if you don't replace that, it will cause that sulfur smell. I had to deal with that. So, hey, I got in two PSAs at once.
Yes, you did. Well, I mean, other than that, is the rest of Steve World running well? I don't hear from you that often, so I just wanted to check.
Yeah, I'm just working all the time, Robin. Work. Crazy busy, crazy.
No, I can imagine that.
Karen's crazy busy, and...
And you told us Karen decided to stay with the Postal Service for a little while longer?
Yeah, well, we met with the financial advisor, retirement specialist, and this lady, love her to death, she didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. She told you what you needed to hear, you know, and she flat out said...
Your ass better keep working.
Yeah, you can't afford to retire right now unless you want to, you know, move to the poverty level. It's just, it ain't happening for you right now. So, yeah, we're kind of stuck there. But hopefully going to get her out of there next year.
I'm just curious, down there where you are, and I know generally the area, have your electric bills gone through the roof?
Oh, goodness. My last one was $325, and I got 1,100 square foot house, Robin.
No, I mean, we're 1,100 square feet, too, but apparently yeah. That clean coal electricity is a little more expensive here than it is there.
That or I need to quit turning the AC down to 70 when I go to bed at night.
Well,
avoid a lot of problems.
I'm hopeless. I run around this house turning the lights off in well-lighted, empty rooms. It's like, you know, we can just turn them back on anytime we want, but, you know, not going to be in here. Let's not.
I don't.
And they're but you know, they're LED lights, so they're not consuming that much. But it's bone deep with me, and I can't help it.
I don't want to give Alexa any plugs, but the one cool thing about her is if you got a small house like Ayers, and you see that you've left the bedroom lights on, if you have Alexa lights, you can say, Alexa, turn out the bedroom lights. Boop, you don't even have to get off your ass.
Wait a minute, are you sitting in the dark now?
No, because I'm in my office. But if the lights were in the bedroom, they're off now, I guarantee you, you know. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Technology is really cool, and it just makes me wonder, where are we going to be 100 years from now?
Well, no, well, I was
we've come in the last 100 years to today.
Well, I was wondering if it's just another. I was wondering if it's just another thing to rule your life. But have you looked into the idea of any of these plans that'll put solar on your roof?
Well, I live in the woods, and right now I would have to take down a bunch of trees. But yeah, I have, and they were at one time offering some really favorable rebates. Is that still going on, or?
Well, isn't there supposed to be more of that inside the Inflation Reduction Act? I mean, that's why I asked.
So. Yeah, I think so. But if you're surrounded by trees, you know, cutting down big oak trees isn't cheap.
No, and it may not be, you know,
cost effective.
Well, you know, your Republican senatorial candidate does say that y'all have too many.
Don't we got enough trees?
Yeah.
What are the numbers? I just have you followed him lately? What are the numbers between him and Warnock?
Oh, I think Warnock, last I checked, was just kicking his ass by at least 10 points or more. Because the guy's a complete idiot.
I mean, the fact that it's not 30 points just astonishes me.
It should be 40 or 50.
That's wow. And in the midst of all this water conversation, Jack in Shreveport reminds us, and, you know, rest his soul, this would have been a great time to have had Bob Lotti around. He could have, you know, given chapter and verse on the growth of the algae and, you know, because
what caused it and what went south in the filter.
And probably what genus, species, and phylum it is.
And, you know, how much damage I've done to my kidney and liver is by drinking this crap. You know, he probably could have gave me the rundown, you know.
Because the water already gave you the runs. Wait a minute, I'm giving myself a cowbell for that.
Yeah, please do. Well, yeah, that was in, if you read about this, people were complaining, and I'm surprised this, company hasn't been sued. Because people were complaining with migraines, dysentery, all kind of things, you know. Like I said, I'm not the only knucklehead that's done this, because these filters are expensive. They're like $30 a piece. For 3 weeks' worth of water, to me, that's not worth it.
No, that's you're being abused.
20 gallons. Yeah, you're being abused.
But if you wrote this as a TV script, you know, you could have the old 70s laugh track and everything. You know, Steve goes walking through the house. I'm, Karen, are you making tuna salad?
How about salmon? Salmon cakes.
Oh God! How is it that your little disasters turn into something delightful in this program?
You get up, you're half hung over, you got cotton mouth, there's no bottled water, and you see this shiny pitcher of water, just saying, "Drink me, Steve." And you pour up a big old glass of it. It's fish water, man.
Oh God! You know what? You just reminded me. You remember the old Saturday Night Live skit with the bass-o-matic?
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd, there's nothing like a tall, cool glass of bass.
Fun times,
man. Just got a note from Jude out in the great Northwest. Subject line, Steve. Such a positive, happy voice he manifests. You have so many good friends, Robin. Thanks for sharing them with all of us. Love to Steve and Karen and, yes, you. So,
Love back to Jude, man.
Absolutely.
What a sweetheart. But I'm going to get out of here and make room for somebody else, man. And I just wanted to push that PSA out there because I don't want any of my Horn family to drink fish water.
Or get fish housed.
Or get fished house. Yeah, don't put it in your humidistat either.
I have to thank you. I'll let you get out of the way and everything, but I have to thank you for augmenting our John from Nine Mile Falls, Washington call.
Oh yeah, me and Todd have corresponded about this nutbag numerous times.
Oh, so he's a regular?
Yes. And poor old Pedro, I don't know how he does it, Robin. He sits there stone faced. Somebody, you know, called him Frito the other day on purpose.
Wait.
Said, have a good day, Frito. Yeah, and he didn't even get mad or anything. I'd have been in Brian Lamb's office saying, God damn it, this is abuse I want to raise. Some son of a bitch just called me Frito, you know? You know that was a slur. He knows what his name is.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Well, like I said, I don't know why you, I don't, you know, you get one of those, and I don't know why you ask questions. There had to be another caller waiting on the line, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. But, I don't know. Or if somebody dared to call him, you know, I dare you to call him Frito. Oh, okay. You know, it makes you wonder, you know, and I texted Todd. I was like, did you catch that? He's like, yeah, man, I heard it too.
I love the fact that you two watch Washington Journal long distance together.
We suffer in silence together, man. Todd's good people.
Just sitting there with the duct tape over your mouth. And
interesting caller. I wish I could be half as interesting, but all I'm good for is PSAs and call the guy calls. So, but you know, yeah,
you're far more good. You're worth far more than that. Oh God, everybody, take your filters seriously.
Exactly. So I won't get out of here, Robin.
All right, Steve, you take care and give our best to Miss Karen and little Cletus. I think of you all often.
I do too. I think of you and yours often as well. You take good care, okay?
All right, will do. See ya.
All right, bye now.
Bye. Pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. And his many adventures and exploits. Thank you so much to Tom in sunny San Rafael. Thank you, Tom. We are now down to 980. 980 to go in our desperate attempt to keep this little nearly 20-year-old broadcasting operation on the air. 980. And it would, well, we've come down. We have come down from $1,700 to 980. Thanks to the initial challenge from Chris in Germany and y'all's response, thank you so much. If we can just get a little further, well, yeah. I mean, breathing room. Sooner rather than later. Sorry to hammer on it like this, but I hope you trust. I hope you believe I would not be doing this if it was not absolutely necessary. Jeremy in Vermont, subject line, Steve. Where will we all be in the next 100 years? Dead. Nothing else. Dead. Well, there's Jeremy in Vermont. A little ray of fucking sunshine. Quit working my corner, Jeremy. Dadgummit. Don't make me read salacious dating app messages on the air. Don't do that. Lee in New York as to postal employee retirement. Can't retire till Louis DeJoy is gone. Louis de Misery. Yeah. So, let's see. We are at the halfway mark of the program. Let's take a quick break, and then I'll come back, go to the phones, whatever seems to be of the moment. But let's check in with Brad and Desi, see what they're up to.
It's Tuesday, August 23, 2022.
I'm glad you're okay. What was that like for you?
I thought I was dying. I thought I was going to die.
Dallas-Fort Worth, latest U.S. city hammered by record rain and floods.
The authorities have been ordering power rationing for factories and supply chains.
China rationing energy supplies due to record heat and drought. Plus, bad news and good about PFAS forever chemicals.
All of that bad news and good straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It's pretty clear this planet is not doing great. The level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is now higher than ever in human history. And a recent UN Commission climate report was called An Atlas of Human Suffering, which coincidentally is also the slogan for Craigslist.
Also coincidentally, for your green news report. Okay, Desi Doyen, well, here we go again.
Yes, Dallas-Fort Worth is the latest U.S. city to get hammered by record rainfall. On Monday, some areas were hit with 15 inches, that's 3 months' worth of rain, in just hours, causing flash flooding that inundated highways and roads. At least one person is confirmed dead in the flooding, and the region has been in exceptional drought for months, underscoring that man-made climate change makes extreme weather events much more extreme.
This is insane. And getting insaner in state after state after state this summer.
Yes, this is the fifth 1-in-1,000-year storm to hit the U.S. in less than a month.
Wow.
Meanwhile, a new analysis finds that an unprecedented number of U.S. households are financially exposed to flood damages. Last year, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, overhauled the National Flood Insurance Program to make premiums more accurately reflect the actual flood risk of a property.
Uh-oh.
As climate change and development intensify flood damage.
Oh boy.
But E&E News reports that since that change, more than 400,000 U.S. homeowners instead simply dropped flood insurance due to the higher prices, putting an unprecedented number of U.S. households at much higher risk of financial disaster from a flood.
Great timing right before, what, 5 1-in-1,000-year floods this summer?
And as hurricane season is getting underway.
Oh man.
Russia is spiking global natural gas prices again. Gas prices in Europe closed at a new record high after Russia announced it will shut down a critical pipeline exporting natural gas to Europe for 3 days for maintenance, right as Europe is grappling with energy shortages and racing to store natural gas for winter. Russia has already throttled gas exports to just 20% of normal in retaliation for Europe's support of Ukraine in Russia's brutal invasion. Good news, though, in Germany, solar power hit a new record high this summer and is poised for massive growth.
Well, that is good news.
China just hit an all-time high overnight temperature of 94 degrees Fahrenheit.
Not as good news.
That is the low temperature, 94 degrees.
Oh.
It's another gobsmacking record in the unprecedented extreme heat wave, with temperatures in the triple digits for more than 2 months straight. Axios reports that the persistent heat has no parallel in modern record-keeping in China and potentially in the world. The heat, combined with a severe drought, has decimated China's crops and dried up rivers, including parts of the Yangtze, cutting output from China's hydroelectric dams. That has forced officials in key industrial hubs to temporarily shut down factories like Toyota, Apple, and Intel. Officials have resorted to cloud seeding to make it rain. Chinese economist Don Wang on CNBC warned that the impacts of the persistent heat and drought that are harming China's economy are also radiating out across the rest of the world.
We already see slowdown in production in the steel industry, in chemical industry, in fertilizer industry. And those are very important things when it comes to construction, to agriculture, and also to manufacturing in general.
So for all of these years, with all of these Republicans saying, we're not going to do anything here because, oh, look, China, they're polluting as much or more than we are. All of this disaster affects everyone, including, yes, us here in the U.S. when it comes to the economy.
Yes, indeed it does. But some bad news and good news on PFAS chemicals, a class of chemicals widespread in industrial and consumer applications, nicknamed forever chemicals because they don't break down in the environment and are incredibly costly and difficult to clean up. The bad news, PFAS pollution is far more widespread than previously understood. A new study has found PFAS chemicals in rainwater samples all around the world at levels exceeding Environmental Protection Agency standards for human health. But the good news is that researchers have discovered an easier and cheaper technique to break down PFAS forever chemicals into harmless byproducts. Experts say they are cautiously optimistic, saying the study is the first degradation mechanism they have ever found that, quote, could actually make a difference.
Not so forever now, are you, PFAS? For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
But nothing lasts forever, so they say.
Oh, my goodness. Don't anybody tell Herschel Walker about what's going on in China.
Just going to have to clean more of their dirty air.
Good God. Why is Raphael Warnock not up like 50 points on that ass clown? Thank you. Thank you so very much to Not Billable Rick up in Washington. We are now down to $930 to go to close this terrifying gap. Thank you so much. And Ralph said she'll kick in another $10 if somebody else can do 10. So that would get us down to 910. If somebody else wants to kick in 10 and help keep independent liberal progressive broadcasting on the air. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's go over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
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 Yeah, you're there.
Hi, first time caller. This is Kat in Ohio.
Hey, Kat, so nice to hear from you.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you had a good time.
Oh, it was a wonderful time, and it was an informative time. It was, like I said, I got to see people I hadn't seen, well, at least since the pandemic, and it was great to see Arnold and Rick Smith and the folks who organized Netroots Nation. I've known Mary Rickles. She's the organizer, and I've known her since, golly, well over 10 years, and the chance to be able to go to the breakout, you know, the panel sessions, the panel groups, the presentations, and just bounce from one to another and see where people are, you know, where people's heads are at. I think that was invaluable for me, just in terms of you know, how I view the larger progressive community. And I cannot thank you enough for making that possible, Kat.
Well, good. My pay went to a good cause.
It absolutely did. And
yeah.
Of course, I would be.
I was.
Go ahead.
Worried. I was a bit worried that you didn't have a hotel room.
Well,
when
I said
that on Friday.
Yeah. I scrounged one up out of town, because even the. I was talking to Arnold and Rick about it. Even the hotel room that they had booked a block of in downtown Pittsburgh, the suckers were $375 a night.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was a big yikes. So I drove out of town a ways and got I think it was a Comfort Suites for, you know, more than half that. And it wasn't, you know, and then you just drive into town and do your thing. It was nice.
Well, good. I was worried.
And Pittsburgh is a beautiful place. I mean, I've been going. I think my first trip to Pittsburgh was like 1983, and
yeah,
fell in love with the city then, and have stayed in love ever since. And so, yeah, I came back and was talking about, you know, when little Lily gets a little bit older, we should all just pile in the car and go up. And they've got a great zoo in Pittsburgh, and they try to do it, you know, as humanely as possible. And it would be, I'd love to take them to the zoo there in Pittsburgh. And there's a children's museum that's just amazing. It's a great town.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was just calling to see how it all went, so I'm glad you had a good time.
Well, thank you so much, and it was a joy, and thanks again for the huge help this evening. That's a big inspiration.
Okay, no
for
problem.
Folks. You have a wonderful evening, Kat.
Okay.
Nice talking to you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Oh, I loved hearing from Kat. That's wonderful. It was just absolutely lovely that she made it possible for me to go up there and get an idea of, yeah, because I can very easily get sort of locked up in my own little world here in the hills, and getting out into the wider world is it's helpful, to say the very least. Ralph's challenge has been met by Gary. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much. And so that takes us down to 910. 910. Jude, with greetings to Kat from Ohio for her first time calling and her generosity of spirit. Jude just took us down below the $900 mark. And said that it's dedicated to Kat, and so we are now down to $885. $885. Thank you, dear Jude. Darlene in Connecticut saying Kat's awesome, isn't she? And I hope we'll hear from Kat again. Thank you. Thank you so much. And 985 is a good place to be. Or 885. What am I thinking? 885. The ciphering weighs heavily after a while. 885. Thank you. And every dollar we bring it down is a dollar more likely that we're here on, you know, Thursday. Thank you. Let's go back to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Robin.
Hey, Dave, how are you? How are the boys down at the shop?
Well, things at the shop are okay, but I'm a little concerned. I haven't been able to get a hold of Christine today.
Oh, no.
But I have some good news. But before that, I'd like to request that all members of the family community congregation place your bets. Will Dave ruin time dinner in all time zones around the world?
Oh, no.
Bring good news. Or will he have timely comments? Please place your bets now at the PayPal button and let Robin know what your bet is.
La jeu s'en fait, la jeu s'en fait.
All right, now here's the good news.
Because, you know, the fish story already did a number. So...
Now, does that mean I only have an opportunity if I was still a practicing Catholic? Does that mean that I would have to only drink filtered water during Lent?
Those are theological questions above my pay grade, Dave.
Well, it's not the day for you to step into the pulpit either. No, last week after I talked to you, or was the week before, somewhere in there, the day after I talked to you, Christine went to the VA hospital for one of her normal appointments. She got picked up by transportation, taken to the hospital, she got out. She navigated to her clinic appointment. She navigated to the pharmacy to pick up her meds, and she navigated herself to the cafeteria for lunch all by herself, she says, without bumping into too many people, and she only grabbed two people the entire time. So, and it was all by herself. And that is the great news, because she hasn't done that up until now. So she's getting more confidence walking around in her room with that cane, and that's a good thing. However, last Sunday, she almost walked off my front porch during a barbecue because she heard a friend of ours voice out in the yard, and she went to walk toward him and almost walked off of the porch. Fortunately, we were able to stop her before she got to the edge, but scared the living hell out of us.
That's terrifying.
I haven't seen her in 2 years. Yeah. But she's doing really well. I am so proud of her. And now for the food porn edition of Days for Warriors. We had a barbecue. The landlord and friends of mine and I decided to throw a cookout. We had hamburgers, we had hot dogs, we had bratwurst. All the fun favorites. We'd gone to the store, and the bill came to just under $100. But we were feeding like 10 people. So, not too bad. We got this stuff, the seasoning stuff, I want to find it again. That I bought at Kroger. We put it on the hamburgers. It had garlic in it. It had some allspice and a few other things in it. And when my landlord browned up the hamburgers, he charged the buns in the grease.
Not a bad idea.
And let me tell you, Robin, it took up that seasoning into the buns, so that every bite you had, it was seasoned, it was good. The only thing we'd forgotten to get was cheese. So it was just straight hamburgers. It weren't cheeseburgers or anything like that. And we had some steaks I got done. I didn't get any of those. But we had a good time. My landlord always has enough stuff. Between the three of us, we brought enough stuff. Everybody got a plate to take home.
And, nice.
Well, it's like Christine said, you know, she used to work at Idaho Hall at IU, and that's the international dorm. And one of her regular customers was a young man from South Korea, and he was excited that he was going to. He got invited to an American family's home for Thanksgiving. It's going to be his first American holiday. And he told Christine, who he knew had been an English major, and she'd helped him with his English, that he learned some American slang. And Christine said, okay, what did you learn? Now, you have to understand, his friend is black. He's going to a black family's home. The guy taught him Yo, my nigga, and motherfucker. And Christine looked at this kid and said, do not do not use that. And she explained why. He got red in the face because he really thought his friend was, you know, helping him out. She goes, trust me, all you got to do is be yourself. Try everything. And when they offer you a plate to take home, accept it and compliment them and tell them the stuff you like so they can put it on the plate. And just be the usual polite self you normally are. And he came back that next Monday, and he was all smiles. He thanked Christine profusely for helping him out and helping him avoid being embarrassed. But the thing is, I've been listening to the news broadcast, and they're now having Herschel watches to see what stupid shit Walker will say next. And, well, somebody pointed out that it was a shame that the GOP had to stoop to dealing with somebody suffering from brain damage to run for the Senate. And I honestly think that might be part of his problem. You know, because you played football for all those years.
Head injury city.
Head injuries. And I'm not making fun of the guy, although he's said some pretty stupid shit. But I began to wonder if, because some of the stuff that football players have been complaining about over the years is the lack of self-control, the lack of cognitive ability, the lack of impulse control. One former player, unfortunately, got so bad that he shot himself in the chest so that his brain would not be damaged and they could donate his brain, and they found plaque on his brain that would cause.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
And I'm beginning to wonder if Herschel Walker might not be suffering from some of that. You know,
I don't think that's unreasonable. But if I remember, Dave, are you familiar with those 30 for 30? Sort of documentaries that ESPN did?
Yeah, they did about 5 or 10 years ago. Yeah.
I seem to recall that there was one about Herschel Walker, and they talk about the fact that he had childhood trauma, too. And, I mean, we make sport of his stupidity because he is, of course, a maggot and goddamn well deserves it on that front. But the fact of the matter is, Like so many people from impoverished communities in this country who have athletic talent, the talent gets used and devil take the hindmost on the whole human being. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Well.
Oh, and by the way, Tamara just told me Dave forgot. About him not remembering how many kids Dave forgot not remembering how many kids you have. Truth.
Well, I have no kids that I know.
No. Right, but Herschel.
Oh, Herschel has?
He forgot a couple along the way.
And I'm sure more than a few of them would wish he'd continue to forget. You know, dads are embarrassed with, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But just some of the stupid shit that comes out of his mouth, and not all of that is brain injury. A lot of that is he's getting attention, and a lot of former athletes
They love the crowd. They love the adulation. They love the attention. And there's a reason no small number of former athletes or current athletes have gotten into trouble with the law over the years, up to and including murder charges. One, you got didn't he go to the University of Georgia?
Yes, and won the Heisman Trophy there and the national championship.
Right, and you know, the university made millions off of him while he was there.
Oh, sure.
And those guys don't get a dime of it. They have to go begging if they need to go home for a family emergency. There has been for years a movement among the players to try and unionize. And the NCAA always sabotages it. They have this myth of the student athlete. And I've gone to school with several athletes, you know. And some of them are there primarily, they're using their athletic scholarship to get their education because they know they're not going to play pro ball. And they're taking full advantage of the opportunity to get their college education. And there are very few, who make it into the professional ranks.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tiny percentage.
And there's nothing to protect these players. I listened to your interview with Rick Smith at Netroots. And frankly, he's one of my heroes. I've heard him talk about how the athletes should organize. And that there are different types of unions organizing.
Yeah, Rick doesn't talk about it a lot, but Rick has, you know, real world experience with that.
As an organizer.
No, because he was recruited to play college ball.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Wow. Well, that explains why he's so adamant about them unionizing them. That would explain it. I mean, other than the fact that he's, you know, as staunchly praying as any human being on earth I've ever heard. So he's using his personal experience to say, hey, you know, we need to look out for these. Because they're between 17 and 22 years old. And at that age, you don't have a lot of real world experience in handling your affairs. And it's designed like that. It's designed for that. Because if you realize how much money the school was making off of you, that little scholarship pales in comparison. I mean, I remember at IU, when I registered for school, I could buy season tickets to the football team, basketball team, whatever I wanted. While I was registering, it would just be added to my bill. Not that I did. I'm not that huge sports fan, so I saved a couple of bucks by not doing that. But I live.
Well, you know, if I recall the time period, I imagine there probably weren't a whole lot of state students there at IU who were queuing up for the season ticket. IU hoops, maybe. IU football, no.
No, this was during the era of Coach Mallory. This is when IU football actually was a program. And I was there. I was living in Bloomington when Robert Montgomery Knight got fired. And he got fired for putting a kid in a teenager in a crash van for saying "Hey Knight."
Oh yeah.
But that was just the latest of outrages. His son Patrick, who played for him years ago and later became an assistant coach under his father, was riding in a cab with a friend of mine who was a cab driver in Burlington. And my friend asked him, he says, "Tell me the truth. Did your dad ever smack his players around?" And Patrick was three sheets from him. He says, "Oh, hell yeah. But none of us would dare say so in public because we were afraid of the kind of power dad had." You know. So I frankly, the only thing that I can say about Bob Knight is his players graduated. They kept their grades up and they didn't play for him. That's the only thing I'll say good about the man. But there were years and years and years of outrages that would have gotten anyone else on earth shit canned. Like I say, I was there when Bill Mallory was the coach of the football team, and he was making $4.5 million a season. Which pales in comparison. I don't even know what Knight was making at the time. But it was probably exponentially higher. Because it's Indiana and it's a basketball program and basketball is a religion here.
It is that.
People think I'm kidding when I say that, or that the line in the movie Hoosiers, high school basketball players are treated like gods. And in the 1950s, oh shit, yeah. In the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, when I was coming up, oh yeah, because I was from Muncie, and Muncie Central had more state championships than any other school in Indiana. The movie Hoosiers is based on a state championship game in the late 40s. Between Muncie Central and Milan High School, which they changed the name to Hickory for the movie. But, yeah, there was a guy named Bobby Plunk who Saints lost basket and beat Muncie Central. I think it was 1948. It was when my aunt Edna was the senior at Central. She would never talk about the movie Hoosiers because of what it was based on. I mean, and this was, you know, 40 years after the fact. So, yeah, that should give people an idea of how much. But the thing is, I cannot believe that the race between Warnock and Walker is that close. I really can't. Unless you've got a bunch of deadheaders that are like, "Well, Donald Trump said this is his man, so I'm going with him." And that's, you know, as far as they've thought that out. I don't know, all if Herschel Walker ever becomes a senator. I mean, I also heard Addison complaining about the quality of Republican candidates. I believe that's turtle speak for we may be screwed. Well, I don't doubt Mitch McConnell was sweating at this point. Because he ain't getting any younger, and there's only so many more terms that he could be leader of the Senate. I mean, you know, he could be majority leader. God, I hate using that phrase with him connected, but yeah. And yeah, we've had plenty of good news in the last few weeks, but well, it's a long time till November. So check your registrations, people. Make sure you're still on the voting rolls. And do it now, because they tried to knock me off the rolls by sending me a card years ago saying they needed my personal information. I called the State Board of Elections, and they said yes, they sent it. And I was required to give it to them. And I said, I have a problem with that. You want personally identifying information, like my full name, my email address, my social security number. And you put it on a 3x5 card that I'm supposed to send, postcard that I'm supposed to send through the mail. I said, I'm not doing it. They go, well, we'll have your name removed from the rolls. And I called the Marion County Clerk's Office, and they said, no, sir, you are registered. And I said, I will be checking regularly to make sure I haven't been removed, because I guarantee you if they'd removed me for that reason, Robin, there would have been a court fight. Because I didn't live that far from the offices of the American Civil Liberties Union. I'd have walked down there and said, excuse me, but I'd like to make an appointment.
Well done. Well done. And by the way, Ron and Raleigh, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department on the topic, said, I was finishing my chocolate chip banana bread. The player who committed suicide was the great linebacker Junior Seau, gunshot to the chest to preserve his brain for study. Yeah,
yeah, and I think we should remember his thoughtfulness he wanted his brain to be examined. They have a brain bank of people who've gone through that kind of
trauma. And in fact, Christopher in Oregon, of course, originally from Chicago, said football brain injuries. Dave is referring to the 1985 Chicago Bears strong safety, Dave Duerson, who shot himself in the chest to save his brain for research. Horribly sad story, and I have Double D's signature on my Bears cap, Dub Bears. So very sad indeed. And notes, Special Herschel has more issues than brain trauma. That's one amongst many. He also suffers from hardcore extreme religiosity brain poisoning, which has replaced all of his brain cells capable of putting together verbal sentence structure. And to you, Christopher says, all the best to the boys and girls down at the shop, and, of course, Dave and Christine. Thank you, Christopher. That's very kind.
Well, thank you, Christopher. I appreciate that. And the folks down at the shop love the program.
Oh, I hear they have listening parties sometimes.
Yes, well, you know, we do pipe the program in nightly.
Yeah, it's a little. Yeah, I know. And sometimes it can be a little bit hard to hear over the nail guns.
Well, you know, we time it. You know, there's
the saws.
They listen to the podcast regularly. That's probably where you got your 500,000 mark. Of course, you're one of their favorite people. You know that, Robin.
Well, thank you.
I mean, when you came out, they started playing Rockin' Robin through this. And I'm like, she doesn't spell it like that.
Oh, that's okay. Who's counting? Fly, Robin, fly, Rockin' Robin.
But the spirit is there.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Well, Dave, I hope you hear back from Christine soon. I'm worried now.
I will. If I don't hear from her by tomorrow afternoon, I'm sending the cops for a welfare check.
Please, yeah. Tell them not to, you know, do anything to harm her welfare either. That's probably what you would wind up. But I hope you just hear from her. Just need you to hear from her. Okay. You have a good evening, Dave. And the burger sounded delicious. And we'll talk soon.
All right.
See you now. Bye.
Let me know how the bidding came out so we can, you know.
Oh, I will.
Everybody off for the continuation of the program. So.
Here. All right. Take care, Dave.
All right. Bye.
Our buddy Dave in the blind and the boys and girls down at the shop. You know, I had a note back when we were talking about Dr. Fauci and the call from John in Nine Mile Falls, Washington. I had a note from our pal, Reverbo, the human man, recently returned from a glorious world tour. Reverbo heard a line that I just sort of tossed out there. And I do love it when I love it when these little moments occur. Reverbo wrote and said, "Quick to the pangolin cave? Where are you ever going to hear that on the radio? Only here. Only here." And I thanked him profusely for noticing. It does my heart good, Roberto, to know that those little moments of insanity land. That's a big help. So we got about 40 minutes left in the program, and up in Massachusetts, Tracy is tormenting me. The other night I was talking about the tahine chamoy sauce. Mm-hmm. Tracy just whipped up a plate of tahine chamoy spiced deviled eggs with candied jalapeno, and I'm sitting here dying. Oh, my God, those look so good. A few things I wanted to make sure that we got to in the program today. Among other things, let's see, I need to get rid of them. Further information emerging about just exactly what it was that Nitwit Nero stole, took, and carried away from the White House with intent to deprive the true owner thereof. Those are the elements of larceny, by the way. I'm just playing. Over at Politico, they have a report. Documents recovered at Mar-a-Lago were among government's most classified letter shows. In the letter, posted on a Trump-aligned journalist's website, the National Archives pushed back on Trump's privilege claims. It's published today. Reads as follows. The National Archives found more than 700 pages of classified material, including special access program materials, some of the most highly classified secrets in the government, in 15 boxes recovered from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in January, according to correspondence between the National Archivist and his legal team. The May 10th letter, posted late Monday on the website of John Solomon, a conservative journalist and one of Trump's authorized liaisons to the National Archives to review papers from his presidency, showed that NARA and federal investigators had grown increasingly alarmed about potential damage to national security caused by the warehousing of these documents at Mar-a-Lago, as well as by Trump's resistance to sharing them with the FBI. And here's the meat of it all. Those records included 700 pages of classified material, according to the letter sent by National Archivist Deborah Wall to Trump's attorney, Evren Corcoran, and it doesn't include records recovered by the Justice Department and FBI during a June meeting and the 11th of August search of the Mar-a-Lago premises. So there's even more. Archivist Wall said, in its initial review of materials within these boxes, NARA identified items marked as classified national security information up to the level of top secret and including sensitive compartmented information and special access program materials. And among other things, the letter also revealed that an assessment of threats to national security posed by Trump's possession of the documents was already underway well before members of Congress were informed. So they've been worried a long time. Politico reached out to an anonymous official who comes from the so-called national security community, who said it's an affront to those people who spent their lives protecting and enforcing a rules-based order only to have someone come along and use his special access to unlawfully collect and retain highly classified documents. And went on to note it can take up to a decade to declassify certain information. That was another individual. That individual said, there's no gray area here. I'm just appalled. We don't, and apparently there is now reporting that some of this stuff was just kind of laying around. It wasn't all secured behind a Slaymaker lock on the, thank you, Kevin. A Slaymaker lock on the closet door down in the basement of Mar-a-Lardass. And you can bet your ass it's been sold for a tidy sum. I wonder if it's been translated into Arabic yet there at the palace of the noble, puissant, majestic graciousness, Mohammed bin Bonesaw. I don't know. That's, to say the least, worrisome. Yeah. And then, in the wake of this knowledge, Representative Eric Swalwell, showed up on CNN last night, and in real time they told him what the New York Times was finding. I'm sorry, not CNN. MSNBC with my friend Chris Hayes. Well, let's go to the audio, shall we?
I mean, the New York Times apparently just reporting just now, to your point about the number, the scope of this, there were 300 classified documents apparently at Mar-a-Lago, which again, Jesus. I think the what do you make of that number?
Jesus.
But that's a lot. And just for your viewers' sake, the reason that they're marked top secret means that it often relates to force protection for our troops. So information about where our troops are that we would not want anyone to know because it could put them in harm's way. It could relate to our nuclear posture or the nuclear posture of our adversaries. It could relate to the technical means that we use to collect information to protect our troops and to protect Americans, or the work that we're doing to combat terrorism. And so 300 pages, you know, just, you know, a basement stairway away in an open, you know, beach house is not where you would want that information, especially in the hands of somebody who President Biden deemed should not even be able to receive classified information.
He was, in a word, gobsmacked. And for good reason. I'm no great fan of the national security state. But there are things here that will probably reverberate through our structure for decades. Historians may find out that this was the point where the United States basically cashed in our chips. I don't like to think of it that way, but it may be how it works out. And if the Republicans take the House in November, We may get pennies on the dollar for the chips that we cash in. Jack in Shreveport says, Mar-a-Lago search. I think I've heard of a Solomon being mentioned on Washington Journal as a maggot reference for research on various topics. I'm not sure that that was the name or the correct Solomon. Maybe another Washington Journal listener knows. Oh, we had one too many Washington Journal. No, I'm kidding. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. And thank you so much to Cynthia in the Bay Area. Hey, Cynthia. It's wonderful to hear from you. I was actually thinking about you just earlier today. That's not a lie. It's not a lie. I was just wondering, how you were, because I hadn't heard from you in a little bit. Cynthia just took us down to 860. 860 to go in our great and frenzied and fervid fundraising push to keep the program on the air. Thank you so much. Thank you. I hope you are well. Let a girl know. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Robin, it's Mark.
Hey, Mark. We got to do.
Robin, I called Stephanie Miller today.
Time out. We got to do something about the echo.
All right, sorry about that. I'm going to do something about the echo.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Okay, you're welcome, Robin. In any case, Robin, I called because Stephanie Miller had somebody that they not as a guest, but that they were doing a recording of a person. I presume it's a right winger, and they talked about a skiff, and the individual may have been a congressperson, and they said that they were supposed to keep top secret FBI information in skiffs, but my association with skiffs, after having worked around them on United States embassy duty, with the dual chain of command, with the State Department being our ultimate boss, skiffs do not maintain any classified documents. Skiffs are where classified documents of the highest level are discussed by various participants, agencies, however you want to describe it. I did share that. I also shared that. I didn't say this, but I'll say it to our crowd and anybody that's listening. But in an embassy, all classified material is constantly kept locked up in file safes. They are the most expensive, heavy-duty, fire-resistant, combat-resistant, literally, safes. And then the safes are kept in vaults, which would give most banks a run for their money. So you have safes inside a vault where human beings walk in and out of that are good-sized vaults. And that's all I wanted to say about that. So it shows you the seriousness. Now, for 3 years, about three and a half years, I walked around the American Embassy in Honduras and Argentina on night shift, and your job is to check for any kind of documents left out. And if there are, you're to seize the document, put it in your own safe at post one at a U.S. embassy for the Marines, and issue a what at that time I think were called JF-11s or called JF-13s. It's basically a federal speeding ticket, essentially, for an employee of the embassy. And if you get too many of those, it probably doesn't look good on your career. And we didn't play games with those. I took it serious enough to know that if I did do that to somebody, it could hurt their career. But on the other hand, you know, you have to pay attention to the better part of valor and discretion. And that's all I wanted to say about that. But, you know, it's a serious subject. And I think civilians are to the point where they understand, you know, secret, confidential. And then you do have documents for the president's eyes only. I've actually was writing in the U.S. Embassy in Argentina with a friend of mine, who I won't say what agency he worked for, but it's the only one. And I said, Greg, how you doing? I said, what do you got there? I stepped in the elevator, and he looked over at me. And I knew he had a military background, but he looked more like an insurance salesman in his tailored suit. And he said, he goes, I just got some documents. And I said, oh, okay, pretty important. He said,
Yep. And I said, no. Where are they going? He said, to the president. I said, you're serious? I said, who wrote them? He goes, I did. And I said, oh, that's crazy. I played golf. I played tennis on clay courts with this guy. A college graduate. These are all educated people. You know, I was just a blue-collar kid. But he was serious. But the thing is, there was a person concerned about, rightfully so, on Facebook, another educated person saying, well, what do we do if he stole the only copy of something? And it's my experience. I also share this with the listeners. There is no just one copy of anything that's classified. Classifications, the original document, and actually a U.S. president or any station chief or anybody of any head of a department can get an original document, or it can be brought to them in a meeting. But original documents are also copies. That's all I'm going to say. But I just thought I would share that information because I kind of let that chapter of my life, I usually call when we have mass shootings and I have all my police information, but that's all I got, Robin. I just wanted to share that.
Well, I'm very glad that you did, Mark. That's helpful, and it provides us with a sort of a bit of background as to, because it's you hear top secret and secret, especially compartmentalized, and they're terms, but we don't necessarily know what they mean. And so you've been most helpful in that regard.
Yeah. Well, somebody said on television, I think it was today or yesterday, and they knew what they were talking about. But when you get into TSSDI, you're talking about, and there's more to it than that. But the person said you're talking about troop movement, live intelligence, and I would if it's the right word to allay people's fears, to keep things in perspective, to keep people calm. But not that Trump would have had that information, but just like you'll hear many conservatives were in favor of torturing people. Right. They were very recent. So torturing people usually gets you no answers or lies, so the person doesn't die. You want to walk home with her, or you want to ride with me? What do you want to do? Which is what? Okay. I'm picking up my granddaughter, but the thing is, any kind of intelligence that happens in the battlefield or on the chessboard of a global theater, that intelligence is only good for so long. I mean, that's just common sense. So if they know there's a flotilla of ships, I think a lot of Americans don't realize they were all concerned with Nancy Pelosi, going to Taiwan. No one ever talked about RIMPAC. RIMPAC actually was occurring as Pelosi's going to Taiwan, and that's 38 Japanese, U.S. Navy, Australian, British, and whoever in the heck else ships, a flotilla with American nuclear submarine escorts and with air support, and 25,000 sailors were floating west of Hawaii in what's called RIMPAC, the Pacific Rim operation, as she goes into Taiwan. So the Chinese weren't going to do jack shit. And so it's not that I sit around and I have all the answers. They asked Biden, they caught Biden, they tried to corner Joe Biden, and he's like, well, the military people aren't sure if she should go or not. That was his answer. But he knew exactly. They did it on purpose. But the ambassador, the president of Taiwan, is a woman. And for every Chinese woman that would get drift of Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan, that would most probably be a feather in our cap. That would be something that provides inspiration. So I thought it was a wise move, and I support her, even though her husband's going to do 5 days in jail, which he probably deserves.
Probably. And, I appreciate the fact that you bring your knowledge to bear. I read about that RIMPAC exercise, and that was a lot of hardware and manpower, and it was not.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, hey, let's put on an exercise. It was there for a, a very specific purpose.
Yeah, you have a couple of world superpowers looking at each other. You can't send out, you know, Mikhail's Navy. You got to send out, you know, your heavy hitters, and they want to see, and they're spying on us with coordination, whether it's satellites or our own satellites that we're sold them space to listen to us do whatever we do. But the point is, you know, you're absolutely right. It is a big operation. That's one of the first things that Trump did when he became when he declared himself president, was he canceled Operation Team Spirit, which has a relatively innocent sounding name. But Team Spirit pumped 250,000 Americans into South Korea in under 30 days. And I had never been on that operation, and we happened to be at a Marine base in near Pohang, Korea, south of Seoul, down by the ocean. And there was a Marine base and a Marine, they're one of their Marine boot camps, if not the only one. And we were close enough to an airport, a military airport, to see our own aircraft come flying in there and taking off. Not per se our combat aircraft, but our support C-130s and the C-5As and commercial aircraft contracted out by the government. And it was as busy as practically you would see any medium-sized city. I mean, it was steady. They're just dropping 400 or 500 people off. And you look over there with a pair of binoculars, and it's all dark green, people carrying all their Alice gear at the time, but it's whatever they call it, Mole gear now, whatever the hell they call it. But, you know, it's just dumping out soldiers. And then he canceled that, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. What's that all about? And then one of the rumors is that his big meeting with the North Korean guy, who's not as stupid as right-wingers always portray him to be, and I hate the people's macho language. I really hate the cowboy talk. I think it's very dangerous and stupid, short-sighted. But it works. It gets people worked up. But any case, you know, I think he may have paid to meet him, actually. Either paid him personally or paid his people or whatever. But so that whole big meeting that they, oh, a big success. Well, he was scared. He's loud. They compare everything to wrestling. They're, you know, the same people that like wrestling like Trump. And I'm like, dude, it's not emotional. It's only emotional to you and your short-sighted mind. It's a very dangerous, simple way of looking at things. And I think that ignorance makes war so acceptable. I do support the Americans pushing back, and I think the Ukrainians are starting to get a little momentum. And it looks like they're putting on a pretty good fight and kind of got the Russians a little bit on the run.
Well, with the Daria Go Boom daughter of Alexander Dugin. I think some upper level Putincrats maybe,
right,
you know, are looking over their shoulders a little bit. Of course, nobody knows who did it. The Mother Russia is screaming that the Ukrainian Special Services did it.
Right.
I don't know if the Ukrainian Special Services did it. She was a target of opportunity. She was active in supporting the war. And, of course, you know, her daddy is Putin's Rasputin. So it's not like she was an innocent bystander.
No, she's basically a cheerleader of death, and you know, when you mess with fire, I feel a little less compassionate for you. I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for him, either one. I'm not insinuating that I should through our conversation, but you know, I guess the bomb was maybe meant for the father, and then they switched cars, but. You know, and it's also not an impossibility that people to the right of Putin could have done that to send a signal to him.
That's true. I mean, there are people who don't like the fact that the Russian economy is going to shit because of the war of choice that he began.
Right. Maybe the sanctions, they're starting to feel their pinch on their. Their their steel and aluminum and oil magnets, you know, maybe they're starting to miss their big boats, but, or what do you call their cruisers? But, yeah, so, any case, I think we're handling that as well as possible. They did, the Russians did float a story that they followed a woman and then she made her way into Estonia. And then I heard that Estonia is a NATO country and I was like, oh shit. So who knows what, let's hope not. But, it doesn't matter whether it's Estonia or Poland. Poland, a lot larger than Estonia, obviously, but, any case, I'm sure the Americans will do the right thing. I have all the trust and confidence in it. Not a warmonger because they wore a uniform. And
no,
you know that about
well,
me,
I mean,
but,
I think you've got it. There is a much greater likelihood that the American military will be used for at least arguably justifiable purposes when a Republican isn't in the White House. It's just that simple.
But it sure looks that way, and it was my own personal experience twice. It's been my own personal experience. When Reagan was in there, he kept trying to get me killed. And when the Carters and the Clintons were around, they kept trying to save me. Actually, President Carter, I credit him with saving my life. So you can feel it. If you pay attention and read and listen and watch the words that they use, and then read about like the operation to rescue the Americans in Iran, that President Carter wanted to see the potential death ratio under 1% or under 2%. It was a tiny number, and he said, "I want the numbers lower than that." And they went and they built a whole city out west to imitate the American compound for the rescue. And the guy that led the rescue was from Georgia, right down the street from him, who was the oldest graduate at age 42 from the British SAS school, which is the hardest military school in the Western world. But anyway, Robin, I'm going to get out of here. I just wanted to share
okay,
that.
Okay, sounds good. I hope everything's going well with you. You did get a note from Clarence, subject line, Team Spirit. Mark's right on point. I participated in Operation Team Spirit in 81, 82, and 83 while I was stationed in Korea. Massive military projection. So there's that.
Yeah. And to remind the listeners that not that the North Koreans wouldn't be a nuclear threat to South Korea, but in fact, if their artillery with the nerve agent, the VX or whatever it's called, their artillery, their long distance artillery that are already setting in caves right now that can fire and retract, send out another gun, fire and retract. They've got lots of those positions just north of the DMZ, and the nerve agent is probably more deadly to Seoul than nuclear would be. But in any case, Robin,
what a horror
I'll
to think about. All right, Mark, you take care.
Yeah, I mean there are. Yeah, all right, brother, there are flashpoints. All right, see you, Robin.
All right, bye, Mark. And had a note for Mark from Jude. This is, you know, Mark, I hope you are still listening because, you know, everybody who participates in the conversation on this program does so never necessarily knowing what lives they're going to touch. And sometimes we get real world manifestations of what actually happens here. So Jude wrote and said, Mark, his prescient words about weapons, when they are drawn, one cannot outdraw a drawn weapon. One of my grandsons, an 18-year-old, was holding a gun for a relative who was to be sent to prison. I tried my best to move through such a heavy dialogue with him on reasoning. Mark's words made a difference, and he chose not to keep it on his person. Thank you, Mark. Peace, Jude. Mark, you may have saved a life. You may have saved a life. And Jack in Shreveport says, I always enjoy Mark's calls, too. So informative. Absolutely. Every time I hear Mark's voice, I know that it's going to be an information-rich call. So as we try to, let's see, if we could knock out $166 more, we would not have $1,000 to go tomorrow. We are very close to being able to get at least two of these three bills out of the way and keep the program on the air. Thank you. Thank you for everything everyone has done this evening. Thank you, Clarence. Clarence just took us down to 840. So 140 more bucks. 140 more. And we are less than 1,000 tomorrow. Thank you, Clarence. In the course of the evening, we have we've actually cleared three unfunded days of programming from much earlier this month. Thank you so much. So we're 8:40 to go, and hopefully we keep plugging away. Thank you, Clarence. Good news out of Michigan today. A jury saw the bright light of reason, and in the second trial, they had to retry them. A couple of maggot goons by the name of Adam Fox and Barry Croft were convicted today on counts of conspiracy to commit kidnapping, conspiracy to use a weapon of mass destruction, and then Barry Croft was also found guilty of, and I've never seen this crime referred to before, possession of an unregistered destructive device. I guess that means a bomb. Because the bottom line is that Croft and Fox, and what a couple of geniuses these guys look like, Croft and Fox they planned to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and blow up a bridge as part of their escape. They then wanted to put her on trial in a kangaroo court and then execute her. The jury, there was a hung jury in the previous trial. Two other men in the previous trial were actually acquitted. The jury hung on Croft and Fox. Issuing a statement, the victim of the crimes, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, said, "Today's verdicts prove that violence and threats have no place in our politics, and those who seek to divide us will be held accountable. They will not succeed. But we must also take a hard look at the status of our politics. Plots against public officials and threats to the FBI are a disturbing extension of radicalized domestic terrorism that festers in our nation, threatening the very foundation of our republic." I guess it would have been improper for her to say radicalized right-wing domestic terrorism. Because that's what it is. You know, the liberals and progressives aren't out there trying to blow up bridges. But we can't be too hard on the poor little maggots now, can we? And after all, there's a Nazi simp who may wind up being the Republican nominee for a congressional seat in the Alabama portion of New York this evening. Polls are, I believe, closed in both Florida and New York, and we will see if Jerry Nadler survives the challenge. One hopes. We'll see who the nominee for governor is among the Democrats in Florida. Thank you. Thank you so much to Henry in California. Thank you, Henry. We are down to 8:15. Matt in San Francisco just said, "I'll do 40, so that takes us down to 775. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so much. See, I did the same thing, Ron and Raleigh. Wait, what? How does one register a destructive device? A curious anarchist wants to know. Okay, for the curious anarchist. My guess is, and I get this from, I mean, it sort of informs where I live. If you've got a train load of ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, those are certainly destructive products, and to the extent that they are used in massive quantities by coal companies around here, their transportation and their storage are closely guarded and are in fact subjects of databases. A stick of dynamite could be a destructive device, and dynamite has its uses in, or something like dynamite in things like old road construction. You know, it costs a lot more money to build a mile of highway in West Virginia than it does in Kansas, because you have to blast through a lot of mountains to get the road through. The highway cuts for the interstates around here can be quite dramatic. So I guess maybe those are the registered destructive devices, and they had the unregistered kind? Homemade? I mean, is that what we're talking about? It's my best guess. Oh, polls close at 9 o'clock in New York. Thank you, Lee. Thank you. And Ralph says the same question. What, did Croft and Knox have a nuke? You know, It might feel like a, but at this point in time, nothing's over the top anymore. Nothing is over the top anymore. And so, with a couple of minutes remaining in the program, let's go back to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Sweet Pie, it's Shorty.
Hey, Shorty, how are you, dear?
Well, I put you this way, I have nothing to lose. So you guys, until I go back into the hospital, I'm going to start calling every day to tell y'all guys the truth, because, I ain't got nothing fucking to lose. The stress of them messing with me for telling the truth over Ukraine has caused my cancer to come back. Okay. And everything you said about Team Spirit is true, but Team Spirit, you guys have to remember that South Korea did not sign. And so us going over there into Korea, it was during the planting season, and we bombed their asses to death during planting season. Okay, so the reason I'm saying all this is because I told them what was going on in Ukraine about those Nazis going over there who were former GIs who need everything ripped from them. Three of them I knew through their fathers and mothers who now have since put a bullet through their heads for getting over there working with Azov. Where do I start? Let's start. Dinga, the lady Dinga, she was killed by a female who took her daughter with her to watch the assassin. Dinga didn't know Putin, never knew Putin. He just, you know, like anybody else.
Hold on, Shorty. Daria Dugin was a cheerleader for the war against the people of Ukraine. She was a media personality who was constantly
running her mouth about it. What I said to you was the person never met Putin, is what I said to you. Okay? He's never met Putin, okay? And the woman who assassinated her, okay, I don't have her name off the top of my head, okay? All right? The reason this is so important is because just like Scott Ritter and Ray McGovern said last night, okay, we have to be very careful because his name, Scott Ritter's name, Ray McGovern's name, Gabby Gifford, what's his name, and some other people whose name are on a kill list by Ukraine for being Russian propagandists, okay, for telling the truth about what's happening. Now, that's very scary. And so they've called Scott Ritter and other people who are on this list, being Americans, okay, I can send you the photos and everything. They've taken the website down because of the press of this. And even Lindsey Graham said that's not even a good thing to have. They're called media and information terrorists Scott Ritter was on the radio last night. I could see him. He was so terrified of that. Okay? I don't know if Dingo's name was on the list or not. But this is very scary. Okay? This is very scary. The assassination was wrong. Any killing anybody's daughter, anybody killing anyone, blowing them up, any intentionally is wrong. I don't care if you think you deserve it or not. It's wrong. Okay? I, being in visual information, anything from a satellite to a camera, I've seen what body parts look like. I was in the Philippines during the Marcos election, and my partner got his brains blown out on me. Okay? That is wrong. Okay? It's very wrong. Okay? The guy never does no. Okay, my point is this. Okay? We need to be very careful and very mindful about calling our representatives, because these military former GIs, the 287 of them now who are coming back from Ukraine as Nazis, as former military members who don't deserve to have an honorable discharge ever, to start havoc here. And I will speak every day, and y'all give every day until I go into the hospital, because this ain't no classified information. This is real. Okay? The Department of Homeland Security came by my house. They ruined my bank account. They've done that. I haven't talked about this openly, but I've talked to you, Robin, about how I've been trying to give to you. Okay? But I can't. Okay? This is real. When you speak out against what's happening right now, it is, you are considered, shut everybody off the air. Don't watch this. Don't watch that. How can you put Ray McGovern on a fucking kill list? On a blacklist? How can you do that?
I've met both Ray McGovern and Scott Ritter in years past.
How can you do this? How can you do this? They're, like, terrified right now. You understand that? This is how real this is. Don't, you know what, you guys? Watch all the media. And how can you put Mr. Waters from Pink Floyd on and edit what he said on CNN?
Huh?
How can you do that? Roger Waters is on CNN, and they made him look like he was against whatever. Just the real clip is out there with Roger Waters said from Pink Floyd about the whole thing of war. And war is bad and everything, but it made it look like he came on the president and smacked his ass around. But there's a full video, the full edit of what Mr. I think Waters from Pink Floyd has said. I mean, this right now, you guys need to hear what I'm saying. You guys, tomorrow, what's today, whatever today is, right now, the stress of what's been going on has brought my cancer back in my inner upper rectum. And I don't know if I can handle it right now. But I'm not, damn, if I'm going to not publicize, you can come to my house, you can fuck with Bob Station, Robin Station, I will pay for it. You fuck with Robin, I will pay for it. Everybody give, because if they hear my voice right now, they may shut their ass down, and I will pay for it to be back on the air. But I'd be damn sure if I'm going to live my birthday out September 11th again, because we finance some people. We finance these guys over there, and these military guys went over there who are veterans are coming back, Nazi motherfuckers. Okay, two of them I knew personally. One was my godchild who blew his brains off. He's half black and half German. He went over there, didn't know what he was doing. And we found out and we got him back, and his father says, you know, look, you know, it's okay. Before he got out of the back and fuck him, he blew his brains out and wrote a fucking letter. And that's how we found there's another 200 of us. Our American veterans fighting with Nazis coming back home. There's three planes that have landed. This is crazy. CNN will publish that. You guys give us money now, because I'm going to keep you guys informed. Because Robin ain't no damn MSNBC, no CNN, no Fox. She's the real deal. She's fighting for an environment. She's fighting for infrastructure. And people are infrastructure, guys. This cannot happen. You guys, and Scott Ritter wrote a letter to Schumer and all the other people who say, we're paying for this right now. He wanted to know how his name got on there. And the two State Department members that got there, went there to that meeting, the whatever we call it, the Disinformation Board of Ukraine. It was signed by the President of Ukraine.
Hey, Shorty.
Okay.
And
you listen, guys call, because I don't call every day.
I gotta go.
Ask me anything when I call back tomorrow. But this is real.
You please check in. Make sure do everything you can to take care of you. Okay.
I'm taking care of me. I'm taking care of what I'm supposed to do. My job is so that others may live. I took an international human rights defender's oath, and I will do that.
I wasn't allowed to do it for my birthday 2001 when I lost 60 people. I can do it right now. And you guys be on the ball with y'all money tomorrow and call back and give up the money tomorrow because it's getting real. And y'all going to call in, and I hope y'all call in to make her be ahead, be 500 in the plus. Because it's real tomorrow, and I love you. What you hear right now is not me angry. It's because I have a fractured face, and I have to talk loud. Okay? I'm not upset. Okay? I have to talk loud because I have a fractured face. But y'all get y'all money ready because it's going down. And y'all charge, and y'all call y'all people and ask them, where are these guys? And if I can get all those names, I'll give you guys names tomorrow who are coming back and about to start a Nazi bullshit crap that's going on. Oh, New York was just one of their things to do. And I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Don't misunderstand my sound as being upset because I have a fractured face, okay, and a tampered throat. But you know what? I'm going to get all this out. Y'all get ready to give. We're going to put you 500 in the plus, Robin, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Shorty.
I love you. I love you, Smoochie.
You be good to you. We love you. You take care.
Being good to me is being good to the world. I love you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye now. And so the program comes to an end. Shorty, be okay, honey. Be okay. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors, so many of you this evening. Thank you so much. We close the program at 8:65 to go. And I will do everything in my power to keep this all going. I promise I will. 8:65. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Remember, the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Billions and billions of hours served. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Stay safe. Get your booster if you haven't. Wear your mask. If you want to wait till the BA5 booster comes out, that's okay. But you're going to take special care not to get this god-awful plague. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you burbling about, oh, Dr. Fauci's killed more people than Hitler, avoid that toxic up to early Washington Journal viewer like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.